Welcome to the online home of Providence Christian Church in Cape Coral, Florida. If you would like more information, visit us online at providencecapecoral.com. Now may the Lord bless the preaching and the hearing of His Word.
On the beginning, the introduction, but it captures, it serves as a synopsis of a lot of the themes that run through this whole story. And my hope is that as we look at this story, as we look at God's call to Jonah and his response to that call, and think about God's call in our lives, that we can grow, we can become more sensitive to the ways that God is calling us, the way that God wants to move us in our lives. So that's my hope for this morning. I'm going to read from Jonah chapter 1. And this is verses 1 through 6. It's on the screens for you as well. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each of them cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." It's the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me briefly? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us eternally. Through it, would you quicken our hearts? Would you give us a sense of your Spirit? How you want to move us, how you want to draw us to a closer knowledge and love of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to offer an illustration, perhaps something that happens to you, perhaps not. It's fine, but you know, let's say, for example, you are, hypothetically, you are running late. All right, you're just behind, you're running late, you're driving, and you're a little bit anxious and behind schedule, and so you're driving along, and you come to one of those dreaded orange signs, you know, that says, "Detour, road closed, construction, road closed ahead." And you look at the sign, and you think, nah, that can't be right. I don't have time for the road to be closed. So you think, you know what, no, this must be just something that they're saying later on the road, down the road, this is going to be some construction. Even if there is construction, I am sure there's some way for me to get through and get past it. So you swerve around the sign and you keep going, you keep driving. And so things are going well, and you're driving along, and I knew it was fine. I knew there was nothing, no closures yet. And you're moving along, feeling better, until you come to this giant chasm, right? Road is just torn open in front of you, construction workers everywhere. And at that point, probably not possible for you to continue to pretend that the road is not closed. So at that point, you have one option, and that is you've got to turn around and drive all the way back, go all the way around the detour, and then you are 2 to 3 times later than if you had just taken that detour to start with. I use this illustration because it's a lot like what happens here at the beginning of Jonah's story, and this kind of thing happens a lot in our lives. And so I think there's some valuable lessons that we can learn here from Jonah that can save us quite a bit of pain, quite a bit of suffering down the road. And so really my main point from the text this morning is just listen to God the first time. Make it easier on yourself and listen to God the first time. And this passage breaks really into two parts for us. We'll just take each part as it comes. So there's verses 1 through 3, and there's a call and a response. And then there's verses 4 through 6, and there is a louder call and response. So we'll look at each one of those. So verse 2 starts us off. God's word is coming to Jonah here, and God's will is pretty clear. He wants Jonah to go, and he wants him to go to the people of Nineveh and preach them this message of repentance, turning faith in God, and that's what he wants Jonah to do. And Jonah, we don't have time to get into all the details here about Jonah, what's going through his head, but let me just set a little bit of context here for this story. So Nineveh, at the time that this story takes place, is about the 8th century B.C., so Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, which is the largest power in the world at this time. So it's a little bit like God is calling you, telling you, hey, I need you to go over to New York City or Beijing or Tokyo, London, you know, one of these giant world cities. And you know, Jonah is already a prophet, so really this is just, it's a relocation. You know, go over there. And you know, like I said, we don't have time to get into all of Jonah's motivations for why he doesn't want to do this. But a kind of condensed version is that Jonah doesn't really think that the Ninevites are worthy of hearing the gospel. He doesn't think they're worthy, really, of being saved. And there's an interesting lesson, I think, or an interesting takeaway from this. And that is that Jonah's a prophet. And I think it's safe to say that Jonah, like all of us, he wants his life to matter. He wants his life to make a difference. He wants his life to be significant. And Jonah, I'm sure, had a certain vision of what that was going to look like, and God had a much different vision of what that was going to look like. But I think the interesting thing to just ponder over a little bit is that in all of Jonah's life, in all of Jonah's work, in all of Jonah's ministry, this is all we get. There's no other recorded words of Jonah. There's no other, hey, Jonah's extra prophecies, or this is other things that Jonah did, or his life. There's nothing else except for the very thing that he did not want to do. I think that one of the challenging lessons here for us is that if you want your life to be significant, right, which is to say you want it to be significant for God's kingdom, you have to be willing to let God define what that's going to look like and God to lead you in what that will look like. So verse 3, Jonah rises to flee to Tarshish. And there is an interesting sort of comical symmetry between God's call and Jonah's response. God tells Jonah, rise and go, and Jonah rises and flees. And what is interesting, though, in that response is what Jonah does not do. Jonah does not simply sit still. He finds that he is actually unable to just sit still. And I think the same thing really is the case for all of us. When you are confronted by, when you are moved by, when you are hit by God's word, and something that God is pushing you or challenging you, confronting you with, we're not simply able to just sit still. It's going to provoke you to move in one way or another. Either you're running towards God and say, okay, or you run the other way. But what happens is that there can be a sort of tension in you, tension in Jonah, right, that is created when God's word is drawing you or confronting something, pulling you in a direction, and that tension can simply feel unbearable such that you can't just sit in that. Right? It's going to provoke you to some sort of action, either toward God or away, whether you're aware that that's happening. And so Jonah, obviously, he does not move towards God. He is running away. And really, this is the way it works for us and Jesus. Right? And Jesus and our response to Him. If you really understand who Jesus is, if you really understand what He claims to be, what Jesus demands for us, there is no neutrality. There is no real room to just sit there and be like, you know, I like Jesus, that's fine, that's good. But, no difference. If you are going to move, and Jesus is going to move you in one way or another. So, this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because I can't tell you, as a mode of application, I can't tell you specifically what does God's call to Nineveh look like in your life. I don't know. You know, God speaks to us very clearly in His Word, but He also speaks to us through His Spirit and our consciences. Right? And He leads us in those ways, but that's a much more gentle and subtle way that God directs us. And so what we have in God's Word a lot of times are like, there's these boundaries, there's these guardrails. Okay, I know it's got to be in here, it's not going to be outside of that, but a lot of times it takes some wisdom to discern what that is. And here's what I can say, is that God has a calling on every one of your lives today. God is calling you now. And that call is simply just take one step closer to Jesus. And you know, what that looks like, it could look like a number of things. It could look like that there is some particular mission, right? There is some particular ministry that God wants you to move toward and into. Could look like some relationship in your life that's broken or ostracized. Right? God wants you to mend that. God wants you to work on that. It could look like something in your life that is a problem that God wants you to step away from and confess and to be done with in your life. So I don't know what it looks like. And for some of you here, it may be that call to Nineveh is the call to actually close with Jesus for the very first time. You know Jesus, you know what He's done on the cross, but you've just never really been willing to say, okay, God, You can just direct my life. You know, for some of us, that call to Nineveh might be a call to engage and plug into a church. That seems unthinkable. That seems like that's for other people. I'm not one of those people, and that's not going to fit. So there's a lot of ways that could look like, but I don't know what that is, but I'm willing to guess, I'm willing to bet that if you are willing to take some time, either today or later this week, and actually listen, actually be quiet before the Lord, then you'll know what that is. You'll know how God wants to lead you and move you. And here's another thing that I could say, is that there are some common threads that tie together God's call to Jonah and his response. And God's call in your life, in my life, in our responses. And one of those common threads, the first one, is that in Jonah's case, in all of our cases, there is a common difficulty. There is a common challenge. And it is a challenge, it's a difficulty that's actually a theme of all of our spiritual lives. And that is the difficulty, it is the theme of trust. Do I acknowledge who God is? And am I willing to trust Him? Am I willing to trust God to lead and direct my life in the way that is actually best? And that can be a very hard thing. Because we all have this sinful, we all have this distorted nature, and so there are things that God is going to say to me. There are things that God is going to want from me that are going to cut across and go against and not make sense, right, and not feel good to what I would naturally choose. So when you consider God's call in your life, or and you know what that is, or how He wants to lead you or draw you, there will always be sort of welling up inside of you, as it were, an emphatic kind of no. I can't do that. I'm not there. I'm not that person. That's not for me. Right? There will be this sort of, in fact, that can be sometimes the best way to know whether you're on the right track. Now, if you start considering something that God wants to do, an action, a certain commitment towards God, a certain step in your life, and there's this kind of knee-jerk reaction that says, no, I can't go there. And that's driven by selfish motivations. And that last part that I said is really, really important. It's really important you hear that, right? That the rejection is driven by selfish motivations. Because I feel compelled here to insert a bit of a word of balance. Because there's a difficulty that comes with giving this kind of message that it can lay this burden on you that is just crushing and legalistic. And the reason for that is that there is a strain, there's a line of thinking in Christian life, in Christian believers throughout all of history that goes this way. Okay, well, I know that Christianity is following Christ. I know that it means a life of sacrifice. And so what that means is that the way that I can be sure that I am the best possible Christian is to make myself as miserable as I possibly can be. That's how I know. That's what I know. I just got to think of what do I dread the most? What do I hate the most in life? That must be what God wants for me. I want to tell you that is just a horrible, twisted, sick perversion of what it means to follow Christ. And there's nothing in the world that Satan would rather have you do than that. Because there is nothing that is going to do as much damage to the name of Christ as a Christian who is self-satisfied and miserably unhappy. I mean, that you want to knock down what it is to be a Christian and who Jesus is. If you're a Christian who is self-satisfied and miserably unhappy, job's done. Right? You are just completely ineffective. So, you know, think about, well, what is it? What is it that God wants for you to do? Right? I think the safest and the surest way to answer that is that God wants your heart. God wants your love. God wants your attention. And whatever that looks like, that's a way that God is leading you. So let's go back to Jonah here. So Jonah hears this call, and what does he do? Oh, he packs his bags and he says, okay, I'm out of here. I'm heading to Tarshish. So he goes down to Joppa, which is this port city, and he finds a ship that's headed that direction. Now, I think it can be helpful. Do we have a map? I think I've got a slide of a map to check that out here. So, yeah, there's... You see roughly where Jonah is. It's near Joppa. All right, and there's Nineveh. So Nineveh is in what would be now modern-day Iraq. Right, and then, you know, there's Tarshish is all the way over in kind of the coast of what would now be Spain. And one of the important lessons for Jonah, right, a lesson for us, is that there is this mistaken notion that we can somehow get away from God. That's a big part of what happens here. This mistaken idea that I can get somewhere where I'm just get out from under him, get out from under his thumb, get a little bit more free in my life. And it doesn't really work. And some of us might be inclined to laugh at Jonah and be like, come on, Jonah, like you believe in a God that's omnipresent, he's everywhere, what are you doing? Right, but we all do this. Some of you may have moved geographically at some point to get away from God or what you wanted, but all of us have ways of running away from God. And I would suggest to you a lot of it just looks like this. It's just that little device that you have in your pocket. And that you start thinking about things that are spiritual, eternal, life, death, God, and boy, this starts feeling pretty heavy. It starts feeling pretty overwhelming. I should check the scores. I should really catch up on the news. I need to know what's going on. I need to get caught up on some work emails, maybe some projects around the house need to get done. some stuff with work. There's always things, right? We have plenty of these things that just push God to the side, just crowd God out of the scene, so we think that we get away from Him. And as we can see from Jonah, of course, it's not actually possible to do that. God has a way of breaking in to our lives. And a lot of times, at the times we think we're farthest from Him, God just shows up. So, in verses 1 through 3, we see God's call and Jonah's response, which is to run away. And then verse 4, we see God's not done calling. So He amps up the call. He sends His call to him in the form of this mighty tempest that comes on the sea. This giant storm, so the ship is threatening to break apart. And we're revisiting a theme, really, we just talked about. It's this mistaken idea and delusion that I can run away from God. Right? That if I choose to have nothing more to do with Him, God will have nothing more to do with me. Now, sometimes God does leave us alone, but the Bible tells us He does that as a punishment. That's the worst thing that could actually possibly happen to us as human beings, that we are cut off and disconnected from God. So that can happen, but we should never ever confuse that with somehow having escaped from God, as if we could actually get away. I think the really amazing thing here is that God doesn't just let Jonah go. I mean, that's what I would have done. Most of you probably have been like, okay, Jonah, you want to leave your homeland, your relationships, your family, everything you know. Great, okay, we're done. I'll find somebody else. But that's not how God responds. Instead, again and again and again in this book, God keeps coming after Jonah. He keeps pursuing him with love and grace. He is determined to use Jonah. And He is determined to show Jonah along the way more of who he is, more of who God is. He's going to show Jonah, yes, you know, His power, but also His grace and His compassion, His patience. And this is really, we see a couple things from this, a couple lessons. And I would say the first and the most important thing is that we see God's heart. And we see on display here two of the most central characteristics of who God is. That is His steadfast love and His grace. Right, those are really central to who God is. And this is what God does for us in Jesus. He comes after us. He pursues us. Even while we're running away, even while we want nothing to do with Him, He doesn't tire of coming after us. In fact, God sent Jesus into the storm. Into the storm of His anger, right? So instead of us, instead of our lives being broken apart, instead of us drowning, it's Jesus. Jesus gets broken apart for us so that God could bring us back into this relationship of love and commitment. That's who God is. And if you are God's child, it's really important for you to get a handle on this, that God is never going to stop going after you. God, it's not going to be any use to say, you know what, I think I'm actually done with this Christianity stuff. I think I'm ready for a break from God. Because if you belong to God, He is never going to stop coming after you. This is the amazing thing, right? That God's commitment to us is stronger than our attempts to get away. That's what gives us confidence. So here's another lesson, another side to this that we can learn, a little bit more negative. And it goes back to the main point, really. And that is just to make it easier on yourself and listen to God the first time. Now you think about what's happening here from Jonah's perspective, even before the storm happens. Jonah has chosen to leave his home. He has chosen to uproot his entire life and move to what at that time is basically the other side of the world. He's going to have no family, no connections. He's going to be a complete foreigner. He's going to have to start his life all over, basically from scratch, and do who knows what. Probably not going to be a prophet, considering he just ran away from God. And so one of the things for us to gain from this, the insights to gain, is that there is always a considerable price that comes with running away from God. All right, then of course Jonah gets on the ship, and gets struck with this massive storm, and eventually basically has to be thrown overboard, has to be swallowed by a fish, and then vomited back up, all to what? Start right back where he should have gone in the first place. This is really the powerful delusion that the Bible is exposing for us with this idea of running away from God. It is the idea that this is going to make my life easier. I'm going to get to a better place. My life is going to turn around. I'm going to finally get more freedom. I'm going to live the good life. Right? None of that is really true. You start running away from God and you start running into more and more obstacles. Your pathway gets running through more and more thorns. Right? You start encountering more and more difficulties. You start running into more and more closed doors. You start attempting more and more outrageous things than you ever would have if you had just listened to God the first time. Let's move on to Jonah's response here. There's this initial call to Nineveh. He runs away. And now there's the second call. There's this storm. And Jonah's response, at least initially, is go to sleep. And it's not just any sleep. We're told that he is fast asleep. That he is in a deep sleep. Which really, this in itself is something to marvel at. I don't know if any of you have tried going to sleep on a ship, let alone a ship in a massive storm. But yeah, that's a pretty incredible feat. And I think there's a couple lessons for us here. We'll come to this in a second. To finish out this story, Jonah is, he's down there asleep, right? The captain comes up to him, he's sleeping, and he says, this is verse 6, "What do you mean, you sleeper?" Which, by the way, this is probably like a cleaned up PG Bible version of the interaction that actually happens at that point. But the captain says, "Look, get up, call out to your God." Which, again, by the way, this is not quite the same as saying, "Hey, Jonah, now would be a good time to say your prayers." We find out later in this story that Jonah, when he got on board, told everybody that he's running away from God. Which, there are a bunch of non-believers, like, okay, you know, who cares? But now, it's like you're a pastor or you're a missionary, and you have some non-Christians coming to you and be like, I know you're not actually good for anything, but whatever spiritual capital you have, or spiritual favors, you know, yeah, now would be a good time. Now would be a good time to start calling that in. So, I mean, it's pretty embarrassing, pretty humiliating for Jonah. And a couple takeaways for us here, and that is, when you run away from God, it is going to tire you out. But there is this side of it that is also going to feel restful. You are, at least in a temporary sense, going to feel like, okay, I've got this burden removed, now I can relax, now I can be free, I can breathe easy, I can just rest. I'm free from this. And all of that attitude, that feeling, comes from a mistaken idea in the first place about who God is. You're operating under a lie of who God is. What does God actually want from you? What does God want from your life? What does God want from my life? You remember the answer to this? God wants you. He just wants you. He wants me. He wants a relationship with us. And he's willing to go so far as sending his son to die, extreme measures, in order for to bring us into this relationship with him. And again, part of what God is up to with Jonah in this story is he wants to show Jonah more of his heart. He wants to be showing Jonah his grace, his compassion, his mercy, saying, Jonah, this is who I am. And Jonah, you know, like all of us, he tends to need to learn all of these things the hard way. And this kind of brings us back to the main point. This is what I really want to close with. And that is, listen to God the first time and make it easier on yourself. Just make it a little bit easier on yourself. A number of you are probably familiar with the story of Saul to Paul, his conversion. You know, he's on his way to persecute the church and kill, bring in Christians. He's on the Damascus Road. The light hits him. You know, God shows up, beam of light. And there's some differences between these two stories, right? Because Saul isn't so much trying to run away from God. He's trying to, like, punch God in the face. But what God says to Saul at that moment has a lot of similarities to what God is saying to Jonah, what God is saying to us. You remember what he says? He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, this is an agricultural image, but really valuable that we get this, because I think it's very powerful. I think it's very helpful. The goad for farmers, it's just the sharp end of the stick that farmers use. They've got their cattle, they've got their oxen going along, and they use to kind of poke them along or to keep them from veering off course. And the illustration that God is using is not so much, hey, God is poking Saul or Jonah. It's like he's got this, and you're using all of your strength, all of your power to actually kick as hard as you can against the sharp point. I mean, you can imagine a farmer who would watch that happening and just be like, what are you doing? All you're doing is hurting yourself. Why are you doing this? And that's really what God is trying to tell us. It's what he's trying to communicate. And what he wants us to hear is that there is a way that God has ordained for life to work. There is a structure and an order to which God has made the world. And there is a plan in which God has made and directed for your life. And that plan is centered around loving God and honoring Him. And it's not so much for God like, hey, I can't believe you're upsetting my plans. It's more like, these plans are here for your benefit. These plans are here to do you good. And maybe you are like Jonah, right? In the sense, like me, right? You don't do so well listening to God. You haven't listened to God the first time. What you need to see is this image of Jesus is walking on the waves through the storm to you. That's what God is offering. Jesus is on this storm coming to you, and he wants to get in the boat with you. Because as soon as Jesus gets in that boat, the storm is over. The storm stops. Let me just close with, there's one last connection here. It's what God says to his people in Psalm 81. It starts with verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Do you hear that? God wants us to listen to him. Why? Why? Here comes the answer, verse 14. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. In other words, God wants us to listen to him so that he can bring us help. You know, a lot of times in the Bible, God talks about how frustrated he is that he just wants to help us. He wants to heal you. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to use your life for a meaningful cause. And we run the other way. And we just make it that much harder on ourselves. So let's just pray as we close here that we could really believe that God is working for us, and that we could maybe listen to God the first time, or at least one or two times sooner than we're used to listening to God. Let's pray.
Thank you for tuning in for today's message. If you would like more information about Providence Christian Church in Cape Coral, Florida, visit us online at providencecapecoral.com.